You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jones!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket in association with LV Insurance. And our look back at the first day of the first LV Insurance Test match between England and India. And, well, I mean, this isn't going to be a short programme, because not because England have played well, but because they played so badly, actually. And it's been so disappointing. What a letdown. What an anticlimax after the build-up to this series and just all the kind of possible permutations and everybody, all the pundits saying, well, we're not sure how it's going to go, but maybe England will just manage to shade it in the end. And, well, it doesn't look like it after this first day, Simon, does it?
No, I think India have had about as good a day as they could possibly hope to have had, really. England all out for 183. India, they got through what was potentially a tricky 55 minutes, and they are in a great position at the end of this test match. I mean, if you project ahead, you know, even if they make, say, 280 in their first innings, which isn't a fantastic score, it's a reasonable score. If they make 280, they're about 100 ahead on first innings, and then the pressure will be on England, you know, significantly in that second innings, as it was in that New Zealand test match. It was going well for England at one stage, or relatively well, 138 for three just before tea. And I mean, goodness me, didn't India dominate that final session? Once they got Bairstow, what turned out to be the final ball before tea, that last 2.5 hours, utterly dominant. England lost 7 for 45, and India got through, didn't they? They got through without losing a wicket to the close of play.
And what was really interesting, I thought, actually, about the way the two teams batted, which was really quite revealing, was actually just seeing that the Indian openers batting at the end there, and the orthodox, conventional methods that both Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul used, just playing side on, leaving the ball, nice, simple footwork. The ball was still moving. Obviously, Anderson in particular getting it to swing. Ollie Robinson bowled quite a good couple of overs. But they played the ball under their nose, really close to their bodies, side on. They didn't get drawn into playing away from their bodies. And it just contrasts so much with the kind of methods. And I know we've talked about this a fair bit before, but the methods of the England batsmen, many of them, shuffling across the crease, weird waving of the bat in the back lift or in the pre kind of preparation before hitting the ball. And a lot of them standing on off stump, whereas the Indians basically stood on middle and leg, took a fairly conventional guard, shuffled across a little bit so they knew where their off stump was. I just think that the methods that some of the modern English batsmen are using is just making them open to mistakes. And actually, they just all looked, I mean, Jos Buttler in particular, but several of the others as well, they just looked as if they've been hitting the white ball for too long and were completely flummoxed by anything that actually moved off the straight.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just dwell on Jos Buttler for a moment. That was his first-class innings, first red ball innings today since February. I mean, it's a remarkable situation, really, if you're trying to prepare for a test match. I spoke to Marcus Driscothic, the England batting coach, afterwards. I asked him for BBC, I said, were England as well prepared as they could have been? And of course, I suppose, in a way, it's sort of hospital pass of a question, because, of course, they're not. And, you know, they are working with what they've got, basically. I mean, the schedule means that they come into this test match in this situation where, you know, some of the players have hardly played any first-class cricket, any red ball cricket at all. So should we be surprised? I mean, I think we were talking on our preview podcast about who's the better prepared of the two teams. And although we're deep into the English season, I mean, the English season started back in early April and now we're in early August, but actually you almost feel as though India are better prepared because they haven't been playing white ball cricket. They haven't been, you know, players haven't been playing in 100 or not playing at all. They've been practicing. They have had that focus. They've had that warm-up game up in Durham. And I don't think they're really well prepared, but I think they just seem better prepared than England. I mean, it's not a great situation for England to be in. And of course, you know, they've got players who I think, you know, are lacking confidence as well. They haven't found their feet at this level. So there's that sort of double whammy, well, triple whammy, actually, because they're playing against a good side as well. And Bumrah bowled well today, but they've got that triple whammy. They haven't had much cricket. You know, they haven't got a great deal of confidence and they're up against a quality side in conditions that were reasonably helpful today.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, actually, just to blow our trumpet a bit here, this Cricketer Mag, which has been out a week or so, and of course, the headline here is India's final frontier, in other words, winning a 5-test series in England for the first time. And actually, funnily enough, in my editorial, I wrote here that actually the problem with the 100 is that, well, not the problem, but one of the issues with the 100 is the fact that the county championship is not being played at the same time. So a lot of these guys haven't had any first-class cricket for some time. Johnny Bairstow, to use another example, hasn't played a first-class innings all season. And it must be a stat that, you know, one of England's top six has not played a first-class innings before August. I mean, that must be unprecedented.
Well, Stefan Schemmel, who's my colleague, works for the BBC Sport website, he put out a tweet earlier. Balls faced in first-class cricket by England's top seven since the second test against New Zealand. Okay, that test match they lost at Edgbaston. Burns and Sibley, well, Burns 189, Sibley 271. Then Crawley 6, Root 0, Bairstow 0, Lawrence 0, Butler 0. It actually sounds a bit like England's batting card today, but that was are the balls that they'd faced in first-class cricket since the last test match. So most of the top order have just not played. And I come back to that point, you know, should we be particularly surprised about what happened today because of the situation they found themselves in? We perhaps should talk about selection. Yours. It was something we talked about in the preview. We tried to guess our team, and actually, I think we got pretty close. I mean, you were saying that you didn't see any long-term future for Sibley, so therefore you felt that Haseeb Hameed should play. Sibley today, 18, he survived the whole of the first session, but you just wonder whether 18 is enough. I know it's a test match. I know it's, you know, you've got lots of time, but are you advancing the game enough with 18? You've almost gone nowhere, have you? Although you've done, in one sense, you've done a good job. You've got through the new ball and you've worn the bowlers down a bit. You've got to lunch. If you're only 18, not out, you sort of haven't gone very far. But I mean, both, I think perhaps for yourself as well, you're always struggling, aren't you? You're always under pressure if you're not scoring a bit quicker. I remember, you know, go back to, you know, when Jeffrey was playing, Jeffrey Boycott, when he made that 100th 100 against Australia in 1977 at Headingley, I mean, it was a very measured, quite a cautious innings. And he got to his 100, you know, deep into the final session. But it was sort of like, it was something like, the breakdown was something like 34 not out of lunch, 67 not out of tea. And then he got the other 30 odd he needed to get to the close. That's not particularly flash scoring. It's quite conservative. But I just wonder whether you just need to, you know, you need to be a bit further forward than 18 not out.
Well, I'd completely agree with you. And it means it's very easy to set a field to you. You get bogged down. Other batsmen are going to get frustrated because they don't get to see much of the strike. And I mean, if Sibley could get a few singles at least rotate the strike, it would make it easier for other batsmen, because there are going to be times when I don't know how many maidens he played out, but it must have been a few, and you just get frustrated at the other end. So I think it puts pressure on the rest of the team, and it's a very difficult balance, because England clearly have tried to find a way of making sure the top order are solid and provide a good platform, but the platform is not much good if there's no sort of substance to it in a way. So I do think it's a bit of a problem. I'm not sure if he can cure it, because I just don't think he has many shots, and bowlers bowl just outside off stumped him. He's not going to hit too many. So it is a bit of a problem. I think he's a stopgap. You know, he's a sort of a temporary solution, but ultimately, someone like Hamid, who's a bit more orthodox, can probably provide a better solution. You've got to have, you know, batting is about making runs. It's not just about staying in. Obviously, staying in is the priority, but you've got to add to the score. And yeah, I just don't feel he does.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about him being a stopgap. I mean, this is actually his 21st test match. And I think, you know, I think clearly, you know, we've mentioned this before, you know, he is part of England's long-term planning for the Ashes. So by the time, you know, in theory, if he got through this series and the Ashes series, you know, by then he'd have played, you know, close on what, around about 30 test matches, mm-hmm. Which, you know, which is a reasonable career, isn't it? To talk about a player who,
yeah,
I actually felt sort of quite sorry for him, because the spotlight of international cricket is so fierce, isn't it? You're under the glare, and it's about being able to deal with it. And every time he goes to the crease, you feel that pressure, because you haven't got that fluency in your game. It's not like some players who will have off days where they struggle to score, but they find a way, and other days they just get out. It's all always the same way when he plays test cricket. It's always the same way. So you're always feeling that sort of huge burden the whole time. And when it works, it's sort of a bit like just crawling up to the top of the mountain, isn't it? Sort of clinging on when that's when it works. And other times, you just slip away into the foothills. And he's in that sort of situation at the moment. 18 today. I wonder if there are no second innings runs, whether England might be minded to make a change. But he is sort of inked in, penciled in, or was to open in the Ashes. But it's just being sort of, that whole thing is being unpicked. And also Rory Burns, who did score runs against New Zealand, that was his fifth duck in 11 test innings, his fifth naught in 11 test innings.
Yeah, I think that can happen to opening batsmen, can't it? I mean, Mike Atherton's got the most ducks, I think, of any England batsman, 19. I think that's even more than Devon Malcolm. So, you know, it is easy at number one. You're going to get those good balls. And actually today I thought that ball was pretty much unplayable. He'd had a couple that whistled across him towards the slips from Bumrah, and then suddenly that one just nipped back, swung back really late. So I don't really put any blame on him. But the trouble with the other batsmen, it was good bowling. I don't think Bumrah meant it, by the way. I think sometimes when you let go of the new ball with the perfect seam release, like, as he does, sometimes it swings one way and sometimes it swings the other with his kind of action. So I think it was partly accidental. And if the bowler doesn't know where it's going, God help the batsman, really. Where England went wrong was in those middle order players where no one went on and made a big score. Crawley got a sort of pretty 20, got out. Bairstow was a bit disappointing. I mean, maybe that was a marginal decision, and he looked good. And obviously Joe Root, for feeling the burden, I suppose, played very well. But in the end, he was ground down by the... he was in the middle of that terrible collapse. And we should just have a look at the... I've done a who's winning graphic for today. I guess it's fairly tautological, but undoubtedly India had the best of the day. But it was suggesting, at least at the start of the first sort of hour or two, that England might have a decent day. So for those watching on video, you can see here the who's winning graphic, and the red line is England, which was sort of looking all right at the start. Well, that's when they won the toss, actually. Then it sort of gradually went a bit down and then really plummeted in that middle order collapse, late order collapse, and the Indian blue line obviously suddenly started climbing towards about 50% win percentage by the end of the day. England are now at about 13% win percentage. So not looking good for England. And obviously India, having got through that last session as well, 20 odd for none, and looking quite solid, they'll be really confident for tomorrow.
And the interesting one there is the draw, which is, you know, right up there, isn't it? It was well out in the lead for a long time today, even into the final session. And the reason for that, of course, is not to really to do with the state of the game, which is actually pretty well advanced. You could see if you had good weather for 3 or 4 days, you could easily feel you could have, you know, could have a result inside that time. It's because of the rain that's forecast. There's talk of rain on the second day from around about lunchtime onwards, and that could be it for the day. So it might be not be that much play on the second day, and also the third day as well. You know, there's some that suggestion that the, you know, there's going to be a lot of rain involved as well. I mean, it might be that is, you know, one escape route for England in this test match. The other escape route, of course, Yoz, is for them to bowl their way back into the match. I mean, it's not as if India weren't trying to get away tonight. They were looking to you know, play the overs, 21 for no wicket after 13 overs. The other way, seeing them to bowl themselves back into the game. Anderson and Broad, and they've got Robinson and Curran. They've got those pace bowling options. A little bit of difference there. And can they exploit India's, well, we've seen it before in the past, haven't we? Relative weakness in the UK, playing in test matches in England, that their batting has been a bit fragile. Kohli was brilliant on the last tour, but he sort of held it together a bit. Can England exploit some of those doubts, or are we going to see Kohli dig in? Are we going to see Rishabh? If you have an hour of Rishabh Pant, for example, that is going to completely change the game or wreck the game as far as England are concerned. I think possibly one of the we're going to go to break in a second, but one of the disappointing things on the first day, I think, is quite a few people felt this could happen, and it has happened. It's not the fulfillment of people's worst fears has come to fruition, really.
Mm. Yes, actually, funnily enough, today I caught up with Kane Williamson this morning. I popped up to Birmingham for watching most of the Test match day, interviewing him for our documentary, and actually, I asked him about playing in the World Test Championship, which, of course, this is the first game of the next sequence of the World Test Championship. And I asked him a little bit about playing in the World Test Championship. And then at the end, I just asked him a little bit about these two teams and whether he could pick a winner.
You had two finals in the World Cup, which you obviously didn't win. Then you did win the World Test Championship final. I mean, what was the feeling like winning that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great feeling, I suppose, after 2 years of trying to push your case to give yourself the chance to play in it. It meant that it was a pretty tough challenge just to, I guess, arrive there, and then to have the opportunity against, the best team in the world against India at a neutral venue was, a really exciting prospect. And it was nice we were able to get over here early to England and play a couple of test matches, and it proved to be, an amazing game of cricket, really, where both teams were going at it, and the game was just in the balance for pretty much all 6 days. And to have that extra day and the pitch to offer to seam and spin and make batting a real graft meant that the game just felt like it was in the balance the whole time, and both teams struggled for any sort of momentum. So I'm sure it was pretty exciting to watch, and for us it was it was great to get through that match and play well and come out on top.
And the journey as well, I mean, a longer journey than you would have to make to win a World Cup as well, so in a way more satisfying.
Oh, look, I mean, the red ball format test cricket, is special in so many ways. So I guess that's it at the forefront of your mind. And, as a team, we've been building all teams for a couple of years to get there, but even longer, to try and track in the right direction. And we had a number of close games along the way. And I think that added context of the Test Championship meant that teams did push a bit harder to without doubt, to try and get the points required. And we did that as well. So, to get there, like you say, over 2 years, it's a slightly different process, but a really tough one. And a lot of credit to the way that team sort of handled the challenges along the way, and also the challenge of another final to go there and play well and try and continue the work that we've been doing and against a formidable side like India was great.
England against India now.
Yeah.
So how do you assess those two teams, just briefly, five test series?
I mean, look, England at home are obviously an amazing... They have an amazing record. They're a very good test outfit. And as we know, India all around the world have been playing really, really well in that amazing win in Australia. So it should be a really tough, closely fought series and one that I'm sure everybody's looking forward to seeing unfold.
Darfield Cricket Club are the latest team to be profiled in our section on LV General Insurance and their ECB's £1 million Funds for Runs community initiative. The village team received a grant to put on free cricket sessions for children from that village after highlighting an erosion of sports clubs for children in that area. Coupled with the impact of the pandemic on the area in terms of unemployment, access to cricket has never been harder for children in Darfield. The project will be specifically focusing on offering subsidised or completely free places to children at their local school. The club will work with local schools to identify the children for these opportunities and look to target the most vulnerable within the community to offer them cricket as a way to interact, build relationships and receive the wider benefits that sport offers. The aim of the project is to get children active, interacting and socialising, and also to attract new children into the club. The club also wants to help the children develop away from cricket by learning new skills through their participation in the sport. In the long term, the hope is to gain more members for the club and ensure cricket will become a part of more children's lives throughout their community. One thing I will say about today's play, in slight sympathy with the England batsmen, is it did move a lot, and it continued to move. In fact, in the second and third sessions, it moved more than at the beginning. I mean, in that sort of middle order, lower order collapse, it was swinging prodigiously both ways. So although, you know, England's batting technique does look a bit flawed, at the same time, they were up against some fine bowlers. You could see why India had picked their four seamers. They didn't make the mistake when they did. They picked their team for the World Test Championship final of picking with their usual three seamers and two spinners. They left out Ravi Ashwin today, and you could see that justified by the amount of movement they got. And generally, they look perfect attack really for the conditions.
And Mohammed Shami came up with wickets today. He did get the ball past the outside edge quite a lot. I mean, one thing you noticed in the World Test Championship finals, you felt he bowls just a bit too short. So he bowls that length that does beat the bat, but doesn't take the edge quite a lot. And actually, if you look at his three wickets today, they were all balls that were either straight, LBW Bairstow, just sort of angling in a bit, or leg side. Sibley played, I mean, it was a strange dismissal from Dom Sibley. We were talking about his 18 and his sort of occupation in the crease, but the dismissal was so tame as well. I think that's what really ruined it for him. But that was a leg side ball or a leg stump ball. And then Lawrence was caught down the leg side. So actually, it wasn't Shami bowling a bit fuller and finding the outside edge. It was a strange concoction of wickets, but he did bowl well. He gave nothing away. And he was sort of at England for the, you know, when he had the ball in hand, he was just at England today. And it brought his rewards, 3 for 28 from 17 overs and two maidens. I mean, that is a very good first day's work.
Yeah. And so for that reason, I think he deserves the LV Insurance hashtag In With Heart award today, just because he's so gritty and gutsy, and he just keeps going. And I just love the commitment he shows to bowling. And I go back actually to that last tour where the sight of Mohammed Shami charging into bowl in 2018, wasn't it, here, and constantly going past the edge and then marching back to his mark and running in again was almost a sort of defining image of the series, or certainly the last couple of tests. And today was the same. He got the rewards. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? You can often bowl those absolute jaffers and not get any wickets, and then you get a batsman caught down the leg side and somebody else clipping one to mid-wicket. But I suppose that in his favour, the fact that he just bowled maybe a touch fuller, I think he's learnt his lesson from the Aegeus Bowl and the last tour here, and he's just bowling a touch fuller and maybe a touch straighter, as well. And it's funny how you get your rewards if you continue to believe in yourself and show that amount of commitment.
Another bowler who was, well, he was criticised after the World Test Championship final at the GS Bowl was Jasprit Bumrah. I mean, I saw some India supporters, you know, on social media saying, you know, why are we picking him? You know, he's not good enough. He flatters to deceive. But I mean, I thought he was excellent today as well. I mean, he bowled 21 overs or 20.4 overs, took 4 for 46, wicket right at the start, got Butler out as well. I mean, after tea, I mean, he was almost unplayable. He was torture, actually, watching him bowl to Josh Butler. Mm. I mean, it was almost horrible to watch. You just felt he was going to get him out at any moment. Butler couldn't get off the mark. He was playing some big shots. He was trying to defend. He was going past the outside edge of Butler's bat. And then, you know, finally, he put him out of his misery. And then he was good enough to, well, he is good enough to clean up the tail, but he cleaned up Broad and Anderson as well. Broad's actually was the plummest LBW. We decided it was the plummest LBW in the history of Test cricket. It was so out that even Stewart
didn't review it.
he didn't review it. I'm not even sure he thought about reviewing it. I mean, it was so out. We decided that, you know, even if you were umpiring your own match, and I know someone gave you out when they were umpiring you the other day, when one of your teammates gave you out the other day, even if you're umpiring your own match and your team needed two to win and he was your best mate at the other end, even then you'd have had to have raised your finger for that one. Anyway, brought out Plum LBW for four and Anderson cleaned up. So you're doing the job, actually, that, you know, a decent pace bowler is expected to do as well. He's already, well, you know, you want him to take top order wickets, but also clean up the tail as well.
The thing about Bumrah is that, you know, he has this perfect seam release like this, but because his wrist is so flexible and whippy, some balls start to swing away, and some, especially with the new ball, and some start to swing in, and there's no discernible difference. I think certainly with the older ball, he does switch the shine around, but with the new ball, they all come down like that, and some actually veer one way, and some just veer the other, according to slightly how he's held one finger on the ball slightly longer than the other. Such a clever bowler, and so difficult to play because he has that. He looks as if he's angling it in, but he can also, as he did to Butler, kind of make it skid away as well. So he's a hell of an asset. Reminds me a little bit of Courtney Walsh, actually, the way he used to bowl that kind of ball as well, angling in and nipping away. Very difficult to play. And in the main, just India bowling was superb. And, you know, I just hope that England don't concede too much of a lead, because otherwise it could be an innings victory by India. What do you think?
Well, there's the possibility of that. Yeah, definitely. If they get a big first inning score, India. And what England will hope is there's enough in the pitch. I mean, if there's rain around tomorrow, or, you know, cloud around tomorrow, and then it's rain, you know, it'll be sort of that sort of humid or tacky conditions in which to bowl. The ball will swing for England. And, you know, they could put this India batting lineup under some pressure. But you feel from here that India are going to get some sort of lead minimum. And, you know, it's really going to be about the size of it. Well, things can change quickly in the game of cricket. Weather could intervene and then just sort of halt the progress of the game. But I mean, Joe Root at the toss today said, in the pitch looks a bit odd, it looks a bit scruffy, but
there's 10 millimeters of grass on it, wasn't there? That's a lot.
Sometimes you know, scruffy looking pitches play quite well. Often at Old Trafford, the pitch looks a bit scrubby, but it plays reasonably well. So it may be that, you know, India was sort of clinging on tonight, England just weren't able to make the breakthrough. And suddenly, it's funny, isn't it? A new day, suddenly the wickets come, and, you know, you can change. We've said it many times in the past, you can change a game much quicker with the ball than you can with the bat. It only takes 10 balls to dismiss a team. So that's what England will be hoping for. But you look at the scorecard after the first day, I mean, it's from an England perspective, it's pretty depressing. And a lot of people who had fears about England against India in this series, they go, oh, well, there we go. Look at that first day. But first day of 25, the game can change around. But India, fantastic position after the first day of this series.
Yeah, the lesson, I think, from today is, if you've had a lot of white ball cricket and no first class red ball cricket, don't play your first test at Trent Bridge against a bunch of very classy seamers, because
where should you play
Trent
then?
Bridge? Well, Trent Bridge swings more than anywhere else, and I just think that you're asking for trouble, really. So, schedulers, next time, first test at the Oval, where at least it's a bit flatter. And you, if you have been playing white ball for about a month, you might have a bit more chance. Anyway, thanks for watching and listening today. And we'll be back to cover and look back at the second day of this LV Insurance first test from Trent Bridge. And obviously, from an English point of view, hope it's a better day.
Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.